Rap Sucks Radio. Blah, 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 blah.
All right, dude.
Okay.
I'm sure you had a good time with that.
Not really.
I'm sure you were very entertained.
No, you and made me sound like a jerk.
Here's the cold part, though. I'm assuming that it's working right now.
Uh-huh.
But I honestly, you know, it's a guess.
It's a guessing
game. I think I got
game.
It, though. I think I got it.
Right. Well, that's good.
Because last night it was on aggregate device, so it should have been recording correctly. But whatever. Whatever, man. Whatever.
That's that logic. Logic.
logic. Yo, yeah. What up, y'all? You live on Rap Sucks Radio with your homeboy Track Life and your fam, Kev Sakota.
Yes, sir.
This is the In Here Trippin' edition where we give you a daily episode. Even if I mess up the sound, we still drop it no matter what. It doesn't matter.
Flew too close to the sun.
Yeah, man.
Taking too much pride in our workmanship.
Yeah, it was
not
really
deserving it.
And not definitely. Well, we deserved it up till last night. And at which point, I actually take the complete L on it because I couldn't believe it. I really couldn't believe it. I was like, wait, did that happen?
What was your first reaction? You were like, ah.
Well, initially, you know how you don't really think you made a mistake? Like, oh, man, the sound quality on this is really tripping. Like, so I'm looking at my microphone like, yeah, the microphone backwards?
It can't be me.
Right. And then it's like, oh, no. Did I really do that? And now I'm terrified. Like, I'm looking at the sound meter like, am I doing it now? Like, you know what I'm saying? It's really
don't,
bad.
Don't get in your own head, man.
Yeah, it's happening right now, yeah.
You're going to anyway, get the yips.
Straight up, right? Actually, you know I learned about that on Bob's Burgers? Like, I learned what the yips were.
Oh, I mean, you know, it's like, it's a thing, but I didn't know that was a word for it until much later.
Yeah. I learned about it. Yeah, I guess probably like 2 years ago. I was like, wait, what is that?
Yeah, it sounds oddly racial.
It does for various reasons, for rhyming reasons. All right, so let me throw this out here at you, man, because this is one of the little hip hop topics I wanted to throw out there that I was going to mention yesterday.
Okay.
All right, so I'm thinking about or discussing or watching underground hip-hop kind of go. I don't know where underground hip-hop is right now or whether that's a term we should even use anymore, right?
Right.
I mean, you know, just a discussion for people who are too young that might be listening to this. Like, there was a time when, like, an underground record sold, like, 250,000 copies. And that was considered underground. That was considered low sales. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, here's my question. Do you think underground rappers screwed over themselves by constantly only talking about the industry and other rappers?
Yeah, probably. I don't know. The fact that I can't think of anybody in particular who you may be talking about is probably proof positive that they did.
Trek Life. Like, I could, you know what I'm saying? It could
That's
be,
not all
it,
you talked about, though.
I know, but what I'm saying is that the underground fan base seemed to want, or what I'm piecing together is It seemed like the underground fan base really wanted its rappers to talk about other rappers and talk about how bad the record industry was. You know what I'm saying?
I guess. To a certain extent, there's that battle mentality. You know, talking about other rappers, that was, you know, that was part of the whole thing to me. But, yeah, the only other evil was the industry.
Yeah.
I always gave people a hard time, rappers and stuff. I'm like, well, if you hate the industry, then why are you trying to sell records?
Well, I think that was always the curiosity. Yeah, I think that was always the curiosity. Like, yeah, but I mean, that's me. I can show, you know, it's not like I'm speaking about other rappers. I'm like, did you know, Trek Life did it too as a rapper. You know, me speaking in third person. But the older I get, I mean, I thought this when I was younger, and I remember Dude, what was the record? Stakes is High by De La.
Yeah.
I remember listening to it when I was younger and going, yo, this record is dope, but it is really centered on things that the average person don't care about.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And artists, rappers like Gross, Nelly, were just putting out records that, you know, maybe not so much about that the world could care about, but I guess, I don't want to say relatable, but
What do you mean? Nelly was addressing climate change before any other rapper.
It just seemed like a real divisive thing. Like, there's 50 rappers in the audience watching you, and you're talking about how all the rappers are whack. It's like, all right, so except for the 50 in the crowd? Like, I don't know. I don't know why
Nelly
used to do
Nelly,
that.
Nelly came with problems and solutions.
Yeah, you know. You guys want terrible music? Here's the solution for it.
Well, but the thing with Stakes is High is that also De La, we talked about it before, is that they have almost their own unique place in the whole landscape, right? Where that song was, first of all, the beat was super dope. That whole album was super duper dope.
It was.
And so, you know, it's just like, there's a reason why there's a bunch of white hip hop fans who love Brand Nubian. You know, right. It's not because they're 5%ers. It's because the music was dope, right?
Right, of course.
And they were spitting. But if they really drilled down a little bit, they might not feel the same way.
Well, we're at that age now where over the last 10, maybe 15 years, a lot of those fans have changed their tune. You know what I'm saying? They either start listening to the words or meeting the artists or hearing the artist's opinions due to internet interviews and things that age. I'm like, yo, I don't like this dude. I don't want to listen to that anymore. Because you grow out of the music, right? And all you have left is the artist. You know what I'm saying? And their opinions.
Yeah, but also, like, and to address your initial question, I think underground today is totally different because back then you wanted to talk trash about the industry because the industry wouldn't let you in, but you wanted to be in the industry. Whereas... And to a certain extent, it was because that was the only way to go, so it seemed. Now, artists are being chased by true underground artists, whether you like their music or not, and I don't particularly care for a lot of like SoundCloud stuff and all that, is that, the industry's chasing them. More power to them, you know?
I guess the industry needs something. It's sort of like now. You want to put people back to work in spite of the fact that there is a potentially deadly virus out there that could kill 2% of the population because you need people to go to work in order to keep your thing running. And it's sort of the same.
I haven't talked to anybody who's still at a label, over the last few days to see what that pressure is like right now. Do you know? Like, are people working at labels and stuff?
I have no clue. I wouldn't know any. I don't think I've talked to anybody at a label since you went to New York. a couple more conversations and then moved on from it. But as far as trying to get that, that larger deal. So I have no clue, man. I have no clue.
Well, and the good news is that in most of these labels, they got so few employees and so much real estate that, like, they can definitely social distance without a whole lot of pressure.
Hey, it's a lot of ownership, a lot of property ownership from a lot of intellectual property companies. There's a whole Rap Sucks Radio episode about how a rapper falls off that I think should be done. I think we should try to get into the particulars of how a rapper
might even. Maybe a whole series, perhaps.
Yeah, exactly. Different stages of a fall-off rapper. You know what I'm saying? Or defining what a fall-off rapper is. I'm truly interested in your perspective on that, because as an MC, falling off is just no longer being around. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's basically the answer.
Ask.
Yeah. Well, I'm saying from my perspective as a rapper, the idea of falling off is just no longer being in existence. Like, yo, that dude fell off. Like, whereas, the initial idea of falling off, at least as I understood it, was just a rapper who put out a dope record initially and another dope record, and then the third record was whack, and then they couldn't get their footing again, and they fell off. Like, but now it's like, I ain't seen Trek Life or shows in years. He fell off. It's like, okay, I guess. Or he is no longer rapping, one or the other. Well, to be honest with you, I think at some point, falling off was a rapper getting a job. Like, oh, he got a job, he fell off. What is he doing? Yeah. Feeding his family? He trash.
Shaq just put out a new record.
That's bad.
Well, I think it was Fizz who alerted me to that important fact.
Yeah, that sounds like something horrible that Fizz would do. Yeah, it sounds awful. This is one of the worst things to alert. Of course, Fizz would alert you on a Shaq record because, you know.
I don't think he meant to alert me in particular. He was just throwing the flare up and letting everybody know, hey, Shaq's back.
Yeah.
Guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. It is terrible. Yeah.
Philadelphia ridiculousness knows no bounds. No, it's boundless. Man.
Can't we all just get along?
Oh, man. Speaking of ridiculousness, like, all right, man. So we a couple episodes, we talked about a young lady who went viral, literally, as we, you know, explained, licking an airplane toilet seat to start a coronavirus challenge.
Yeah.
Well, a young man named Lars, who is a what do they call him? An internet trendsetter. What do they call them dudes? They call them people.
Dummy.
He's
an influencer.
Influencer. Thank you. I think the scientific name is dummy, but the street name is influencer. Anyway, an influencer named Lars joined into the coronavirus challenge by licking a toilet seat on TikTok. And he
Real quick, shout to Lars. He took it one step further.
Okay.
Because if you look at the picture, he didn't lick the toilet seat. He lifted the lid. He went to the lower deck.
Oh, I didn't realize that. God. That is so gross. Anyway, he's now contracted COVID-19, by the way.
You could take something that's so gross and make it still be grosser.
Well,
that's a trendsetter. That's an influencer.
That is an influencer. He had to shut down his account. It's funny because I shared the initial story with my daughter. And as I tried to teach her about the internet, like, hey, you got to be careful. Like, you know, a lot of this stuff is really, really stupid. And you have to be mindful of what a trend is. Because, you know, there were dumb trends back when I was a kid. Gangbanging was one of them, right? I mean, I guess a trend that started before me and hasn't ended, but whatever. but you got to be mindful of dumb trends. And you look, and here it is. And this is like the fifth or sixth time someone has challenged this virus and then got it. You know what I'm saying?
So, okay. First of all, I stepped on you. You said the punchline. I think I sort of stepped on it.
The punchline is, after licking the toilet, let's say the toilet rim, he now has he rimmed
the sub hoop.
Lars, the influencer, now has COVID-19. He has now contracted the coronavirus. All while playing a game. Well, who knows where he got it from, but is, you know, he was playing the coronavirus challenge on TikTok and ended up getting the virus, catching COVID-19. So, shout out, I guess.
Wah, 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 wah.
Yeah, exactly. Fail noise. Matter of fact, I think that deserves it. That's nasty.
That's nasty.
Because that's exactly what it was.
So my other question for you is,
sure.
Did you talk to your daughter about it? And she was like, oh, it's Lars.
Well, no. But what's funny is she said, what's his name? And I was like, oh my God, if this child knows who this fool is. And she was just casually asking that question. But she didn't seem to know who it was. So I'll say that much.
Well, okay.
But thank goodness.
There you go. It's good parenting.
So, it's 50-50, man. You could get $4,000 going viral, or you could catch COVID-19 is one or the other, or both.
Yeah. How does TikTok, now I really want to know how TikTok works, because when you are faced with this challenge, and you accept the challenge, and then you lose so significantly. What's the point?
For the person, for one person to go viral and make $4,000?
I guess, yeah.
That seems like the only.
It's kind of like the. It's kind of like underground hip hop in 1994.
Sheesh, all the way back then. That's when it was worth it. I'm talking about underground hip hop in like 2003. What? I'm trying to think. Man. There was an era of underground hip hop. Like, Lars, you don't get no more props, man. Sorry, man. That's it. You only get half a bar.
You lose.
Yeah, you took an L. I am going to say this about at least the LA scene, and feel free to correct me if I'm wrong yourself, and listeners, feel free to correct me if I'm wrong. As far as the underground scene, and I'm saying, well, underground to, I don't know how to word this, successful underground artist. There was like a 3 to 4 year period where Talib Kweli was dominating that like middle ground. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
And I feel like success at one point was like opening for him. Like if you were on the same bill, you were doing it. I feel like that was the thing. Because I just remember so many artists on those like House of Blues bills back when they used to have an actual DJ. And I just remember Talib was owning that middle ground. And people don't really give him props for it. But he held that little middle ground pretty strong for quite a while. You know what I'm saying? So.
Yeah, you're right. It probably wasn't. Yeah, it probably was more like the late 90s, right?
Yeah, late 90s, early 2000s, yeah.
Yeah, when Xzibit was killing it and all that. Yeah.
Because Xzibit was going platinum. We're talking late 90s. So Xzibit was in that middle ground as well, along with the Alkoholics. You know what I'm saying? There were just a couple artists that were hanging around in that little area. I mean, I think Common was even around there at that time, right? Like, I'm just thinking of artists that were kind of, they weren't over the top successful, but they were successful enough to tour and make legit money. And they were. Right. They were the staple artists in the late 90s, early 2000s. Yep. I would say the Raucous era, right? Like Raucous, Lyricist Lounge era, et cetera. Sure. And then on the West Coast, the Project Bloat era, because they were dominating the whole Western Hemisphere at that time as far as touring goes. Between Tumex, between the Visionaries, between, of course, Freestyle Fellowship, AC Alone. There was just a part where if you were on those bills with them, you look like you were about to be on that same success level, like, you know, MERS and Living Legends, and then we're doing it. I mean, the list of names goes on and on, right? But after a while, it seems like MERS, Talib, and a couple of the names I'm probably going to miss out on, I'm sorry if I missed the name, just started to overtake the middle ground scene. Like, all right, not particularly underground, not particularly selling a lot of records. I know Talib was selling a fair amount of records, to be fair to him, but it wasn't like, you know, Common had just started to go gold and platinum and all of that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just remember Talib kind of dominating for a while. And MERS as well. MERS just kind of did a takeover. So, you know,
yeah, he props worked to his, him. He, I mean, you know, just knowing that MERS just worked his tail off.
Oh, yeah.
Continues to, but, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's like, shoot, look at Odyssey. I mean, I look at Odyssey like I was there for the whole ride. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Or at least the first part of it, the initial part of it. And you look now, it's like, yeah, you look at the shows, it's 3,000, 4,000 people at them shows. 8,000 in a couple places. So, I mean, what can you say? You know what I'm saying?
Word.
Anyway, this has been Rap Sucks Radio. We actually talked about rap, man. How did that feel? Was that all right?
This fantastic, man. Feels great. I'm tired, man. I cut the grass today, man. I tell you what doesn't get coronavirus. The grass.
The grass. It's still out there growing for
the
you.
The grass thrives in the midst of a pandemic.
All nature does. I had a squirrel literally scale the side of our wall and look in our window like, y'all still alive?
like he was I'm checking on you.
Exactly. Like, when we get to take over this house is what I want to know. You know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah, you need me to go grab some toilet paper? What? You can't.
For real. It was shocking.
I got you.
It was shocking. Like, wait, is that a squirrel? What the heck? Anyway. All right, y'all, man. Thank y'all for listening. This is Rap Sucks Radio, the In Here Tripping Edition, where we drop a episode daily. We usually drop them weekly if this is your first time listening, but now we are dropping them daily while we are all quarantined. We hope you enjoyed this episode, and you can catch us on any podcasting platform. Let your friends know, like, subscribe, discuss, get down with us. And on the count of three, we say peace. One, two, three. Peace.
Peace.